Right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. And we'll be there momentarily. And the last time that we had an opportunity to meet, and it's been several weeks ago now, we've had a missionary. We've had myself out sick. There one Sunday, and so it's been a while, but the last time we had an opportunity to gather together, we began looking at lesson three of our series here on the need to go, to share our faith, to be serious in our evangelism, to see a lost and dying world come to know Christ as their Savior, to see our friends saved, to see our family saved. And this morning, we're going to continue on with lesson 3. And just for emphasis' sake, you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says there, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And these next two verses are the key verses that we're looking at here in verses 3 and 4. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." And again, we're looking at that thought, especially from verse number 1, where Paul says, "I declare unto you the gospel." And of course, we know the gospel. The word gospel simply means good news. And that's the thought that we've been looking at the last few times we've met together, and the thought that we'll finish off here this morning is the thought of good news. And when we look at our world around us, our world that we live in today, you know, we talk about good news, but in reality, our world is one of bad news. It's full of bad news. But those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who know the Savior, well, we have something that this generation, this world, desperately needs. And that is good news. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's three things that I want us to see this morning that must be done with the good news of the gospel. And number one there, and this is where your handout comes in. But number one there on your handout is that we are to get acquainted with the good news. We are to get acquainted with the good news. And so your first fill in the blank there on your handout is the phrase "good news." And our first job is to get acquainted with the good news. You see, you cannot share what you do not possess. You cannot share what you do not already have yourself in your possession. And Paul wrote here in verse number 3 of chapter number 15, he says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." And so Paul, he was a recipient of the good news. He was a recipient of the gospel. And so now he says, okay, this that I now declare unto you, it's declared unto you first of that which I also received. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, have you received it? Do you know the gospel? Do you personally know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And so there's several things we need to know about the gospel and about this good news as we seek to get acquainted with the good news. And so you can use the lines there on your handout under point number one to write these thoughts down if you'd like to. But the first letter is letter A. And that is, we need to know the elements of the gospel. We need to know the elements of the gospel. And there are, really, when we look at it and we look at the gospel, there are so many things that are connected to the gospel. Every good thing in this life and in eternity, we find rooted in the work of Christ. But the gospel as we know it, is really just very simple. You know, there are a lot of things in the Bible and in the Word of God that as we read it and as we look at it, we think of it, and without further study, it can be very complicated. But the gospel is simple. And here are the three parts of the gospel message we have to identify. And so you're there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice, if you would, again, verses 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So here are the three parts of the gospel that we need to know. Number one, we need to know the death of Christ. We need to know the death of Christ, the fact that Christ died for our sins. Secondly, we need to know the burial of Christ, that when he died, he then not only died for our sins, but he took our sins and he carried those sins far away. He did away with those sins. But then not only do we need to know the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, but then we need to know the resurrection of Christ. Not only did he die for our sins, not only did he carry away our sins, not only was he put in the tomb, but he didn't stay in the tomb. He didn't stay in the grave. He didn't stay dead, but he rose from the dead to give us eternal and abundant life. And so when you seek to break down the gospel and someone asks you the question, well, what is the gospel? The gospel's simple. It's the death, it's the burial, it's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel in a nutshell. So you first have to know the elements of the gospel. And then secondly, you have to know that you have had your own experience with the gospel. You have to know that you have had your own experience with the gospel. You're still there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Who would like to read verses 5 through 10? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 through 10. Ms. Sue, go ahead.
And that he was seen of Cephas, that of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles. I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me.
All right, thank you there, Ms. Soon. So here in these five verses, we see Paul's testimony, his testimony of salvation. And if you're saved this morning, you have the same testimony. You have something to tell of what Christ has done for you. And Paul here, he's testifying now of his own encounter with the resurrected Christ, because Paul, he personally experienced the grace of God. This was not a secondhand faith. This was not Paul relying on, well, my mom got saved, or my dad got saved, or I go to a church where the pastor is saved, or I go to a church where some church members are saved, or whatever the case may be. He is letting us know he has had a firsthand experience with this faith, and that it is a genuine faith. And, you know, it's one thing, and a lot of people know this intellectually. They know it in the head, but they don't know it in the heart. And it's one thing to, intellectually know the facts of the gospel, but it's quite another thing to have believed the gospel for yourself and accepted Christ into your heart. And so the question is, do you know God's grace? Do you know God's grace in your heart? Have your sins been forgiven? Can you truly call God your Father? And the only way that we can do that is if we have accepted the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, you don't have to turn there, but the Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" And so, you know, and maybe you're here this morning, or maybe somebody that's out there that will be in church this morning, they've never repented of their sin, and by faith, taking Christ as their Savior. Well, the time is now to come and do that, and to do so today, to believe the gospel and be saved. And so the very first thing we see is that we have to get acquainted with the good news. And then secondly this morning, and this is your second fill in the blank, not only do we have to get acquainted with the good news, but secondly, we have to give the good news. We have to give the good news. You see, the gospel is not just to be received. The gospel is not just to be taken in. The gospel is to be relayed. The gospel is to be told. The gospel is to be given out. And Paul had received the gospel and declared it to the Corinthians. Notice there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice there, verses 1 and 2. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And so now the Corinthians who had received it, well, now it's their job to pass it on. They've received it, and now it's their responsibility to now get it out to those they that know are lost, to those that they know are on their way to hell without the Savior. And those who have the good news should have a desire to give it. And the reason we should have a desire to give it is because we know what Christ did for us. And we know that if he did it for us, he can do it for somebody else. He can do it for that lost friend. He can do it for that lost family member. He can, if he saved us, he can save them. He can, if he changed our life, he can change their life. And we should have that desire, that because we know Christ made a change in us, that now we give it out to somebody else and we give it to them. And Paul wrote one of the greatest passages in the Bible on giving the gospel to yet another church, and that was the church in Rome. And giving the good news is the work of every church and every Christian. It's not just the job of the pastor. It's just not the job of the Sunday school teacher or the deacon. Sharing the gospel is the job of every Christian. And, you know, sometimes you say, well, maybe I don't feel comfortable talking to somebody, right? Well, that's where you can take a track and leave a track, or leave an invitation to church, because the gospel is still included in those things. And you never know what that'll do. Someone will pick that up and they might read it and they might get saved as a result. But in Romans chapter 1, verses 14 and 16, Paul said this. He said, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Three times there in Romans chapter 1, you find that Paul says the phrase, "I am." And he says the phrase, "I am," three times. And the reason that is because giving the gospel, giving out what Christ has done for you, it's a personal matter. That phrase, "I am," it personally means that you are responsible and personally accountable for what we do and what you do with the good news. You see, the first phrase he said in verse number 14, he said, I am debtor. He said, I am debtor. And Paul believed beyond any shadow of a doubt that he owed the gospel to all people, no matter their ethnicity, no matter their education, no matter their background, no matter their socioeconomic status, no matter who they were, where they found themselves at, in what stage of life. He said, I am debtor. He believed with all his being that he owed the gospel to all people. And that because, again, the simple reason is because it's good news for everyone. God reveals his love for all people. The Lord is not prejudiced. The Lord does not play favorites. The Bible tells us that God is no respecter of persons, that he wants everybody everywhere to be saved. And so to have is to owe. You know, we're going to look at it a little bit later in the morning service. But in the Old Testament, you have the account of four leprous men who they were marvelously provided for. They were marvelously healed. And as they sat consuming all the blessings for themselves, they finally concluded in 2 Kings 7:9, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. God had done something good for them, and they were being quiet about it. Listen, if God has done something good for you, you need to let it be known. You need to testify of what God has done to you. We must all come to this conviction that we are going to share the good news.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Kings 7 or 12?
Oh, 2 Kings 7, 9.
2 Kings.
Yep.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Oswald Smith, he said this. He said, no one has the right to hear the gospel twice while there remains one who has not heard it once. Listen to that again. No one has the right to hear the gospel twice while there remains someone who has not heard it once. We're all debtors. We all have a responsibility to share the gospel. And the second I am statement that Paul made, he says, I am debtor. But then the second statement he made was, I am ready. I am ready. And, you know, most people, when we talk about sharing our faith and sharing the gospel, many people, they think that, well, I'm just not ready. You know, what will I say? Where do I start? What if they ask a question that I cannot answer? Or what if they're not receptive? What if, you know, I go to somebody and, you know, maybe they shut a door in my face or they tell me to leave, or, you know, and we start getting all these questions going through our mind as we think about sharing the gospel and sharing Christ with somebody. But, you know, the secret to being ready is found in the little phrase Paul used. He says, so as much as is in me is. So, you know, when you think about sharing the gospel, you need to think of what is in you. You need to think of who is in you. And you have to remember that Christ is in you. You have to remember that the Holy Spirit is in you. And if Christ and the Holy Spirit, if they've convicted you and impressed upon your heart to go witness to that person, then all of a sudden, you know, they're not going to leave you high and dry on the side of the road and put you out there all by yourself. When you go to witness to that person, the Holy Spirit is going to be right there with you. Christ is going to be right there with you, helping you and leading you and giving you those words that you ought to be saying, that he wants you to say. You know, we're not asked to give what we do not have. We're called to share the one who lives within us as believers. And the truth is this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have two things in you already that make you ready as you're ever going to be. Number one, you have the truth of Jesus Christ, which you believed when you were saved. And that is the truth that all people need. You know, you can begin with a simple verse of Scripture. You can begin with John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then you can start with your testimony. You can tell people, hey, this is what Christ has done for me. This is what God has done for me. And if you'll give him your life, this is what he can do for you. You can begin with what is in you. But then again, not only that, not only do you have the truth in you, but again, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. God's Spirit lives within you and wants to witness through you. And so when you go to witness to somebody, don't rely on your own strength. Don't rely on your own wisdom. Depend on him. Depend on the Holy Spirit for wisdom and for boldness. And it'll be the Holy Spirit of God that gives you the words to say. It'll be the Holy Spirit of God that gives you the courage to say it. Depend on Christ that is in you. And this is the same truth that Paul expressed in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He said, "I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me." You see, when you do a work for God, no matter what it is, you don't do it in your own strength. I don't do it in my own strength. It's the Holy Spirit of God that helps us to do the work that he's called us to do. And so Paul said, "I am debtor." He said, "I am ready." And then the third "I am" phrase he used was, "I am not ashamed." I am not ashamed. You see, it doesn't matter what stage of life we're at some point, we all get nervous speaking to other people. We all get nervous speaking to other people. Yet, when it comes to the gospel, we must not be ashamed of Christ. Because Paul revealed the deep convictions that cause us to be bold. Number one, he said everyone needs the gospel. So when you leave this church and you see all these people walking around you, you go to Walmart, you go to Tops, you go to Aldi's, you go to the gas station, you go to wherever it is you find yourself during the week, and you see a group of people, and you don't know for sure that they're saved, or you don't know for sure that they go to church anywhere, you need to realize those are people that possibly need the gospel. They need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But then not only that, the gospel is the power of God that will save those who believe. The gospel is the power of God that will save those who believe. You as a Christian, you have what every person needs, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot witness to the wrong person. There's no such thing as giving the gospel to the wrong person. Everybody you share Christ with, everybody you share the gospel with, they are the ideal candidate for Christ. They are the ideal candidate for the gospel. And so we see after this very personal word about giving the gospel, Paul declares in verse 17 of Romans, he says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so by faith, we need to share our faith. By faith, share your faith. And as you do, God will work to lead others to faith in him. And so when you think about the gospel, when you think about that lost family member, that lost friend, take it personal. Say to yourself, "I am a witness." Christ's emphasis is not just on what we do, but also on who we are. Christ told us in Luke 24:28, he said, "Ye are witnesses." That's what we are as Christians. Ye are witnesses. And we must give what we have. We must give the good news. And then thirdly and finally this morning, and there on your handout, we see we must get acquainted with the good news. We must share the good news or give the good news. And then thirdly and finally, we must go with the good news. We must go with the good news. Paul here makes it very clear that this gospel of grace caused him to labor. It caused him to work. And because there's not only a rest in the gospel, but there is a labor in the gospel. yes, we rest in what he did for us, but then we labor to get it to others. We labor to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. You see, the gospel, that this gospel that Paul is talking about, it was never meant to be stationary. From the beginning, the good news of Christ was meant to be shared. You think about what the angel proclaimed in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. He said, "Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Just in about another week's time, next Sunday is December 1st. The Christmas season, the Christmas holiday. You'll be hearing that verse a lot come December. But that's exactly what we've been put on this earth to do, is to give good tidings of glad joy or of great joy, and to give it to all people. In Luke chapter 2, shepherds declared what they had heard and what they had seen. And that was at that very first Christmas. And now it's our turn to declare what we have heard and what we have seen. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, the Bible tells us, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." As Christians this morning, we must go. Again, we think of the first two letters of the word gospel. And those first two letters are those letters G-O. And it makes up that one little word, go. Hudson Taylor, who was the founder of the China Inland Mission, he was famous for saying this: "God is always advancing. God is always advancing." And certainly those who are true followers of Christ should be advancing not only with him, but we should be advancing for him. Christ's command to go with the gospel, commonly referred to as the Great Commission, it's found in five places in the New Testament. And each of those five places reveals specific things about the work our Savior has given us to do. All things, though, have one thing in common, and that is the action of going with the gospel. So now there on your handout, you see there, or actually I don't have it written down, but the five places that the Great Commission is referred to, it's in all the Gospels and the book of Acts. You have it Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, John chapter 20, and Acts chapter number 1. And in Matthew, we see, in fact, let's turn there. We have a little time this morning. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and who would like to read there? Verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Miss Martha, go ahead.
"And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world."
All right. Thank you there, Miss Martha. So here's the first thing we see, that we see the first truth, that we go to make disciples of others. We go to make disciples of others. We became a disciple upon our salvation, and now we go to make disciples of others. Look there, if you would, Mark chapter 16. Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, and who'd like to read there verse number 15? Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. Who'd like to read that one for us this morning? All right, Martha, go ahead.
Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
All right, and so we see we're to make disciples of others, but then we do that by going to every creature. Someone once said every creature needs a preacher, and that's our job. We're to go to every creature who needs the gospel. And then look over, if you would, Luke chapter 24. Gospel of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and notice there, if you would, verses 45 through 48. Luke. Luke chapter 24, verses 45 through 48. The Bible says, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus is it written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. So truth number one, we're to make disciples of others. Truth number two, we are to go to every creature. Truth number three, we go as personal witnesses of Christ. Then John chapter 20. Gospel of John chapter 20. John chapter number 20, and who'd like to read there, verse number 21? Dad, go ahead.
Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even to send I you.
All right, and so now here we see truth number four. We don't go in our own authority, but we go in his authority. We go in divine authority. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Christ with us each step of the way. And then finally, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, one or so pages over. Acts chapter 1. And notice there, if you would, verse number 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so here are all five truths now put together. Number one, we go to make disciples of others. Number two, we go to every creature. Number three, we go as personal witnesses of Christ. Number four, we go with divine authority. And number five, we go in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Those are the truths of the gospel. But back to our text there, 1 Corinthians 15. We find Paul concludes in verse 34 with a tragic verse. Because surrounded by all the grace and glory of the gospel, we read a very sad indictment. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. Paul here says to the Corinthian church, "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." If there was ever a time, now today is the time for every believer, for every Christian, for every child of God, to be wide awake to eternity, to souls around us, to God's heart, to the gospel. For such, or for us, to have such good news and not share it is indeed sin. It is indeed, as Paul says here in verse 34, that it is a shame to us to know the gospel and not to share it. James 4:17, the Bible says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it good, to him it is sin." You see, this morning, God's command to witness, it is not optional. It is mandatory. In a world filled with seemingly nothing but bad news, it is our job to go with the good news. We must go with the good news. Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer this morning?